Snow's Garden Center. Discover nature by design for a beautiful view. Snow's knows how to make it all easy for you. When it comes to landscaping and gardening, who knows how to create the perfect scene? Snow's Garden Center.
Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Gardening Show, the longest continuously running gardening show in
the world.
That's right. We're here every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 taking your calls and questions on anything having to do with your trees, your shrubs, your lawn, your garden, houseplants, vegetables, flowers, deer.
Don't talk about deer.
Don't talk about deer. Well...
We've had a little trespasser in the garden center the last few nights, and it's really nice of us to take all those beautiful new annuals, and we sit them out on a table, you know, right at buffet height, and the deer have been coming perusing by the last few nights and enjoying themselves.
Yes, they have been feasting on some of the impatiens out in the...
That's it. So today, rather than us answering your questions and taking your calls, we're going to get you to tell us how can we take care of these deer that are coming into our garden center. So.
Well, we have a couple of ideas, but a couple of the ideas weren't exactly probably fun, interesting and kind of fun to think about, but probably not very practical.
Are you pulling out the potato gun again, Norman?
No.
Norman has. Do you still have the potato gun?
It's around somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about, let's start the show good today by talking about this wonderful weather we've had the last few days.
Oh, it's been great. Low humidity and temperatures not horribly oppressive. I mean, the latter part of this spring really has been good all the way around.
Yeah, it has.
The first part of the spring, April, was wet. And a lot of wet weekends, which made it difficult to get out in the garden and get a lot of things done. But we've continued to be in kind of a rainy pattern through May and right on through June, which has been wonderful for the garden in most respects. A little bit rough on some of the fungal diseases. But, you know, as far as moisture levels in the soil, we're really still continuing to be in pretty good shape. Much better than we have some other years.
Yep.
And hopefully this trend will continue on through July and August, and we'll be in.
And I think it will. The last few days have been wonderful days to get out and, you know, get some stuff done outside. You know, very, very pleasant, wonderful, low humidity. And today's going to be another good one. So if you've been putting some things off, you got some things in the yard that really, you know, you need to get around to do, this is going to be a great time to do them. And the next thing to think about it, just in terms of that, is we can even make it cheaper for you today. If you've got some snow dough hanging around in your pocket, got some of that you've been collecting for a while, today is the last day of the Snow Dough Festival. It ends today. So remember with your snow dough that you've been accumulating over the last few months and last few years. And even if you bring us some of the old pansy dollars from 10 years ago, we'll still take those.
I've got a stack that we got in. Just recently.
Oh, really?
So, yep.
Very cool. So how old are those?
Old.
Yeah, 10, 12 years old. They've been around forever. Mm-hmm. So if you got those, what you do with your snow dough is you come into the garden center. Today is the last day of the summer snow dough festival. So if you bring them in today, you can use them for up to 50% off your purchase. So you can use it for anything.
That's right.
We've got some things that are on sale. You can use it for that. We've got a great selection still of plant material. There are a few things the deer didn't eat. So
most things the deer didn't eat.
And we'll
eat.
Give you a really good deal on the things the deer ate. But, you know, come on by and use that snow dough. It really is a great time to get in and get some of those things that you know you need to do. Why don't you come in and get them for 50% off?
That's right. Or if you, you know, what, you know, we've had lots of people coming in over the last week using it for things that they wanted to treat themselves to. It was an opportunity to, you know, save up your snow dough all season long and, you know, with your eye towards a specific item that you wanted, the maybe a Japanese maple or a piece of statuary or something, maybe a little bit more expensive, but it was an opportunity to get a great deal on it and treat yourself to something in the garden, maybe a tool that you were looking for, a good pair of pruners or something along those lines. It's a great opportunity to splurge a little bit, but save a lot of money in the process.
That's right. I noticed one of the Weber grills was gone, so mm-hmm. I think somebody treated themselves to one of those.
Yep.
If you want an incredible deal, we have a Weber grill that's only been used once, I believe, hasn't mm-hmm. it? Mm-hmm. And it is a stainless steel, beautiful grill that is already marked down half price.
Mm-hmm.
And use your snow dough, you get another half off of that. So
that's right.
It is an incredible deal on that product. I wish I had room for another grill because I'd take one. The other thing that I think is an incredible bargain is we've got some beautiful handmade cypress furniture.
Right.
This is, a lot of people look at it and they think it's like bent willow furniture.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually cypress and it's handmade, arched back benches. There's a two-seater settee, and then two chairs and a table, mm-hmm. and that comes in a package, and that's 25% off now, as well as you can use your snow dough on it. So
that's right.
That really is a beautiful piece of handiwork, something that really is a conversation piece, very unique. You're not going to find these too many places as you look around, for garden accents, but it really does fit a lot of our landscapes very well.
Mm-hmm.
I've used some recently in a fairly formal garden. They fit beautifully. I used them in a naturalized garden. They worked perfectly. I just actually used one of the accent pieces in an oriental style garden that we've done, and it just seems to work everywhere. So.
And it's being cypress, it's very, very durable. It's going to last for a long time out in the garden with very, very minimal care. So it's an opportunity to get some pieces that are really going to be a long-term investment, long-term stay. And being cypress and harvested here locally in the southern part of the country, I don't know if it was Alabama or Florida or exactly where they were, somewhere down in the southeast. Done very sustainably, so it's an opportunity to get a great deal on a great accent and feel good about it too.
That's right. The other thing to think about is still it's a wonderful time to get some of those container gardenings going. We still have an excellent selection of annuals that you can mix up and put in some pots. We've got some wonderful, beautiful terracotta, really nice shapes this year. Every year when Donna and Norman go out and buy the products, I always am, putting little tick marks in the catalog saying, man, this sure is nice looking and this sure is nice looking. And a lot of times they bring back things that I would never have checked in the catalog, but when you see it in person, it looks fantastic. As well as we've got some really nice, very clean line, beautiful pieces of concrete, really nice ceramic, stuff that's going to last for a long time. So, as well as the garden center's looking really great these days. We got a lot of people out there spending a lot of time taking care of the annuals. There's a lot of nice inspiration pieces. So if you come out and, you're a little confused about how to put plant combinations together, I think this year's probably one of the best looking presentation type gardens that we have also.
Mm-hmm.
There's some wonderful containers that are there for shady areas. There's some wonderful that are for sunny spots, some large scale, small scale. So come out and get some inspiration and get some containers and, we'll pot them up for you if you'd like for us to, or you can take these things home and, have some instant color for your celebration this weekend.
And we've got some beautiful ceramic pottery that we've got in the garden center right now. A lot of variety of shapes and styles and colors and finishes, some that are very, very formal, some that are more rustic. We've got plain terracotta. We've got terracotta that's got kind of almost a powdered finish to it.
Like a peach tone, like the Italian terracotta, which is, wonderful accents. I just love terracotta pots because I love the way they age.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, as you get the salt that comes out of the container, as you get the moss growing on them, they age beautifully. And then, of course, it's an investment you make in the garden now that you can just keep reusing again and again and again.
That's right.
But as Norman was saying, with some of the colors on some of the clay, some of the ceramic that we have in right now, really great color. If you want your to really emphasize the plant material that you're putting in your container, you know, don't forget the color of the pot as being one of the major design elements. So now we've got some wonderful blues that are in, from light powder blue to deep, deep cobalt blue. I am really fond of the real chartreuse, light green, kind of yellowish mustard color ones that we have in. We've got deep blood red, and also some really nice black ones. Mm-hmm. So just stop by and you know, when you walk into the garden center, you walk through a really nice collection of containers. You know, kind of remember those colors when you walk out back and put those two together. I just recently did a project for a client that we finished last week. And for Father's Day, the wife wanted to get something for the husband. And, you know, we set it out on the porch there. And come to find out, what she chose was a really great chartreuse green container. And then we put a tomato vegetable garden, or tomato and herb garden, planted in that. And not only is it going to produce wonderful fruit for them, they're already getting fruit this week, but it just is really attractive. It's just mm-hmm. really gorgeous. So keep that in mind as you start to make some of those selections, and come on out and use your Snowdo this weekend.
That's right. The other thing that's great about some of those, the colors on some of those ceramic pots, is they make a great accent out in the landscape just in and of themselves, even just the container themselves. A lot of people that we work with will put containers out throughout the garden, some that don't even have anything in them, just as an accent, just to get that color out into the shrub border, or out into the perennial garden. The colors are so strong and vibrant, and add such a great accent out to the landscape just in and of themselves, that a lot of times it's neat to put a planter or a container out into the bed, and it doesn't even need to have anything in it. It's just the color added to the color of the flowers and the shrubs and the foliage that's out there that really helps to tie everything together and makes a great accent and nice little focal point out there in the garden.
It definitely can. I've got two pedestals in front of my house that are literally, they're pots that I like so much the shape and the size of, that I flipped them upside down. So the wide end is at the bottom and the narrow end's up top. And, you know, that's the accent that I use out there to elevate some other containers. But you just be creative with your use of containers. Come on in, get some inspiration. And this is still an excellent time to do that. We've got everything you need. We've got the best potting soil that you can use. And that's the other thing. If you really want to have success in your containers, it's not... It's a combination that you're putting together. You're kind of making a cake here. You get a great pot, you get some great plants, but the key is really getting good soil mix in that, a good media. And that's where I think a lot of people, you know, kind of end up causing themselves problems, is they choose a very inexpensive or a very cheaply put together soil mix, or they reuse soil mix that they've had for years and years and years. And that just isn't going to cut it. I think I've mentioned multiple times when I do containers, every year, when I redo my containers, I take the soil media that was there the year before and dump it all out. I buy new media, mix it half and half back together, and the stuff that I've left over, I take and just use as a compost in the garden. So it's not like I'm wasting any product. I'm helping the garden out. But that product, after you've used those potting soils for a year or two, they really do start to break down. And they're not going to hold the water the way they need to. They're not going to hold the air the way they need to. And remember, in these medias, you're in a soilless scenario where you have to provide nutrient. So once they've been in the ground for, or what they've been used for a year or two, all of the organic content mostly is used up. And as that stuff decomposes and breaks down, it just becomes too fine and it's not providing what you need. So be sure you get a good high quality media and a good fertilizer, and you'll have nothing but success.
And the other key to it, too, with the fertilizing is maintaining a good fertilizing regime throughout the season. A lot of times you fertilize it early in the, you know, when you pot everything up, you put a little fertilizer on it, and then that's it. That's all it gets for the whole season. But it really is important, especially if you're using some of the water-soluble fertilizers, that you repeat that at regular intervals, as often as every week or every 2 weeks, to keep those nutrients available in the soil and make sure that the plants have everything that they need. One of the things with those liquid fertilizers is they are used up very, very quickly by the plants, and they leach out of the soil very, very quickly, especially in times and seasons when we have a lot of rainfall the way we have this year, a lot of, you know, just if you think about it, it makes very logical sense. If you have a water-soluble fertilizer, when we get a lot of rain, it's going to leach out of the bottom of the pot. As that water goes in, it's going to pick those nutrients up, and they'll be rinsed out of the container as you get a lot of rainfall and as you supplementally water as well. So it's important to replace those nutrients regularly, as often as every week or every 2 weeks. Another thing to keep in mind with those water-soluble fertilizers is the amount that you're putting on there really is minimal. I mean, it's kind of a maintenance program. It's not a load them up and forget it kind of scenario. It's something that needs to be done regularly in order to maintain that level of fertility in the soil that you need to for success.
And there's nothing wrong with them, you know, and that's one of the beauties of the liquid fertilizers is they're available through the root, through the stem, through the leaf. You know, they don't have to go in through the root. They can actually go in as a foliar feed. So they're excellent for containers, but they do last for a very short period of time. In my personal scenario, what I do is I use Osmocote, which is a slow-release, time-release product that goes into the soil, absorbed by the roots, and then I supplement by using the liquid fertilizers. You'd really get that extra boost. And this is a time of year that as you're planning your summer vacations and planning on being away, don't forget about your garden before you go. One of my big recommendations that I always make is if you know you're going to be away for a week or two, go out and really prune your garden back. Prune back your knockout roses and prune back all your perennials and, you know, cut a lot of that bloom off and head everything back. Be sure you get the deadheading done and all those things. Give it a great shot of fertilizer. And that's the time of year I use the fish fertilizer. I don't know if you've ever used it, but fish emulsion is one of the best fertilizers you can use.
Stuff.
The plants love it. It's just a wonderful organic solution, but man, does it stink. actually, walked into the house last night, and I've been over to a friend's house planting a couple of plants. And I went and handed something to my daughter, and she's like, "Dad, your hands stink." I'm like, well, that's because I was out just digging in manure and compost and organic material. So if it stinks, it's probably doing good stuff.
That's right.
Keep that in mind. You'll be amazed if you cut those things back when you get back from vacation. You know, your amount of maintenance is going to be less, but you'll be surprised at how these plants respond. And they just love that cutting back and that fertilization.
It's also an opportunity if you got somebody that's a little squeamish and, oh, don't cut that off. You can go in there, take care of it, and then it's covered, it's grown back out, it's filled out, and it looks good again when you get back, and you don't have to sit there and look at it and lament over what you've done during that process when it's regrowing.
I can understand that. Whenever I go to a customer's job site, I have my pruners with me, and I start cutting, and they start, "No, don't cut off that bloom." I'm like, "Trust me, cutting this one will give you 10 more down
that's
the
right.
line." So. That's really, you know, don't be squeamish. Remember, you know, that's the best, one of the best fertilizers you can do for your plants is also reducing the top, you know.
That's right.
Cutting them back will really help. Glenn's telling us it's about time to wrap it up. He's over there making some signal or he's dancing to the music, one of the two. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with you at AM 1070.
Welcome back to the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070. I'm Norm Carlson.
And I'm Scott Price. We're joined today with my lovely sister, Paige Price, my lovely older sister, Paige Price. She's here from California. She's visiting, and she's really in a treat for these wonderful summer temperatures and this great humidity-less few days she's going to have here.
I know. So, I feel lucky.
Welcome, Paige.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You knew he was going to point out the older sister part. You knew that was coming.
Well, you know, you can hope that, you know, someone will be discreet. So, besides, I'm busy here trying to figure out whether or not my airline will take a Weber grill as a carry-on. So, I figure that kind of deal, maybe I could just buy a seat for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. We're taking your calls here at 977-1070. Give us a call with any of your gardening questions or anything that we can help you out with today, and we'd love to talk to you.
You know, we went through the whole first half hour of the show and didn't give the number. Do you realize that?
It's 977-1070.
Maybe that's why we didn't get any calls.
It could be. I don't know. Maybe we're talking too fast, or it's just all of this wonderful information that we're giving. People just don't have time to, you know, stop and call.
That's right. But anyway, give us a call at 977-1070 if you have something that's happening out in the garden that you're not quite sure what to do with. You know, this is the time of year when we kind of transition a little bit out of the aggressive enhancement mode of spring, when we're doing a lot of planting, doing a lot of, you know, getting a lot of things worked in and established, you know, putting the vegetable garden in for the season and putting in the annuals and all of those kinds of things. This is kind of the time of year when we transition a little bit out of that. You can still do it. There are lots of things to still plant. It's a wonderful time to get out and get things in. You can, there's no reason in the world not to put new plants in right now, unless you're going to be gone for an extended period of time and have problems watering it. But we kind of transitioned a little bit out of the major enhancement mode and kind of go into more of a problem solving and a maintenance scenario, because this is the time of year when a lot more of the fungal problems crop up, the insects are out, all of those challenges that crop up in the course of trying to get things going and keeping your garden beautiful. All of those things really crop up now. So anything that you've run into like that, feel free to give us a call and we'll help you solve some of them, trying to minimize some of the impact that happens out there this time of year.
Speaking of which, I was with a client just the other day and we were having this conversation. Have you seen any Japanese beetles yet?
Yes,
I have too. They're just starting to come. They're supposed to be June bugs, but I think they've decided to be July bugs this year. So,
well, one of the things that thankfully is working in our favor this year is we had a very dry August last year. And if you have a dry August, or late July, early August, and up through mid-August, the Japanese beetle population for the following year will usually be a little bit less than what it is in after a wet season.
But that is something that I just started noticing last week, some damage that was coming, and it seemed to be out in the Keswick area starting to kind of get some concentrations out there. I noticed it a little bit kind of out Old Ballard Road. So that's one that the earlier the better to do that. Go ahead and get your treatments out now. Start putting your traps up. And, you know, you can try to have some better control if you start earlier.
Yeah, I had four or five on my crepe myrtle the other evening when I came home. Not excited about that. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Yes, I have a question. I was cleaning out an old closet and found some Epsom salts. Is that of any use in the garden?
Absolutely. One of the things that really, really loves Epsom salts and the magnesium that's in there is your roses. And many other of the flowering plants love to have a little bit of Epsom salts scratched into the surface of the soil right around the base of the plant. Well, they absolutely love it. It's something you don't want to use a lot, just, you know, a few tablespoons per plant, but can really help to enhance the flowering and overall health of those.
Would that include bulbs?
It should.
Yeah.
The biggest thing there would be, you know, the delivery system, you know, getting it, you know, to the bulb when the bulb is actively growing. You know, if summer bulbs, of course, would love it. But right now you may want to put it down, you know, I would say early next spring, or, you know, put it down, I guess, in the fall so that it'd be available to the plant early next spring. One of the biggest things to remember is as you look at fertilizers, those three numbers, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, are what are called the macro elements. Those are the major elements that the plant needs. But the plant also also has a huge list of micro elements that it really requires: iron and magnesium and all those things.
Boron, that's where the, and zinc, boron and sulfur, and zinc, and yep, copper and manganese. I mean, it's a huge list.
It's a huge list. So that's where, you know, you can supplement definitely with the Epsom salt, as Norman mentioned. Do it as a top dressing, scratch it into your mulch layer, and it'll work its way down. So.
Okay, well, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
And then when you're tired at the end of the day, you can come in and soak your feet in it.
Exactly.
There you go.
Thanks for the help.
Okay, appreciate the call.
You know, number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you'd like to ask.
I was doing that the other day. I was going through and cleaning out my little chemical closet that I have downstairs. And, you know,
down in Manland.
Down in Manland. You have to say that one. You're down in the man cave. What you have to do is you have to really keep an eye on those things. You know, I do this every day, all day, every day, and I was surprised to find some chemicals that I had down in the chemical room with Watkins Nursery's price tags on it. And that means they moved from Richmond to my house 15 years ago, at least. So it's probably time for... 16. Those to go away. Yeah, 16. Yeah. Wow.
94.
Yeah, it has been a while. So it really is, go through those every once in a while, get rid of what you can, and then the number one thing is pay attention to what it is you're getting rid of and do it correctly.
That's right.
You know, it's something that I actually took them, I put them in a sealed bag, and I'm going to keep them until it's time to take them, and when the county has its collection dates, that's when I'll take and get rid of those, because I want to be sure I do it correctly, and I want to be sure that I do it as safely as possible. But be sure you get rid of some of that stuff, because it sitting there is doing nobody any good, and right. It can just create so many problems over time.
That's right. And the county is great. They offer at least one and often 2 days a year when you can bring those out to the facilities utilization or the materials utilization center or whatever they call the old Ivy landfill these days. And you can bring those out and they will haul them off and dispose of them correctly. There's a Saturday in April every year, and then I know a couple times they've done one in the fall also. I haven't checked to see if they're going to be doing that again this year, but you just keep an eye on that through the Ravana Solid Waste Authority, and it's a great opportunity to get rid of some of those things that maybe have accumulated and do it in a way that, again, is going to be safe and responsible for the environment. I remember when I was out at school, we rented an upstairs apartment from a lady. She's a great lady, wonderful to sit and talk to. And she was probably, I don't know, she had to be about 90 years old at least. And just wonderful lady, but she, a couple times had to go down and help her out with the, check out the pilot light on the furnace and things like that down in the basement. And, you know, it was like, you know, going back in time, walking down into this basement. And I remember one time going down there and just kind of looked up, and there on the shelf was a bottle of DDT. Oh. And I was thinking, oh my word, how long has that been sitting around here? So don't allow things like that to build up and collect like that, especially when we have such a great, easy way to dispose of them properly. So we've got another caller. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Good morning. I have a quick question for you. I have my cantaloupe seems to be getting eaten up a little bit, and a zucchini plant has been killed, and the next one is like turning yellow. A lot of little green little bugs underneath, and I went by some of that, I think it's called Severin dust or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure whether I should use that or not. Is there something organic to use? If I don't know what to do right now.
How's okay. All right. There are a couple different options. Yeah. There are a couple of different options that you have and a couple of different possibilities for what's been affecting the squash and the cantaloupes. One of the, you know, seeing the little green bugs, are they mainly like under the leaves and kind of on the stems?
Yes. Yes. And it just killed one zucchini plant altogether. It seems to be sort of moving over.
It
sort of wilted away. You know, it's watered enough and everything else seems to be thriving, but it's sort of working down the row, and I want to stop it, but my wife doesn't want me to put any of that seven dust on.
Are they munching on the leaves? Can you see bite marks gone, or does it look like there's something sucking all the chlorophyll out of the leaf and making it real yellow?
The cantaloupe looks like it's they're eating through the leaves, but the zucchini seems to be just what you said, sort of sucking all the yellow, and the chlorophyll is just getting, and then it just sort of wilted away.
Okay, when it kind of wilts away, is it the whole plant just kind of crashes within just a few days?
Exactly. That's exactly okay. It.
Sounds like you got a couple of different things going on.
I was going to say, I think you got one of each. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm calling the right people.
The green bugs that you're seeing on the kind of on the stems and the underside of the leaves sound like probably aphids.
Aphids or thrips or
which yeah. are feeding on there and probably not the main cause of the plants going downhill. If you see the plant just kind of wilt and yellow and crash in just a few days, more than likely you've got some squash vine borers. It's gotten into those vines, and it's looks like a little grub or a maggot that tunnels into the vine of the plant near the base, and it attacks anything in that cucurbit family: zucchini, yellow squash, butternut squash, pumpkins,
watermelons,
cucumbers,
cantaloupe,
any of those kinds of plants are susceptible to squash vine borer, and one of the good organic remedies for squash vine borers that we had available isn't anymore. We used to be able to use rotenone dust, which did a good job at controlling that. And unfortunately, that's not on the market anymore. One of the things that works fairly well to help eliminate the potential for the squash vine borer is to either just cover the base of the plant with actually work some soil on up along the vine so that you don't have that long stretch of vine coming out of the soil at the base of the plant. That will help to discourage it. Another option is to cover it over with some what's it called, floating row cover, right, or harvest guard. The only problem with the harvest guard or the floating row cover is that it also, if you cover the ends of the plant with it where the flowers are, it eliminates the ability of bees and other pollinators to get in there and move the pollen back and forth to set fruit. So you end up having to do that manually.
A couple other things people do is often where these borers get in is within, I'd say, the couple inches of where the plant comes out of the ground. So people have taken aluminum foil and wrapped that a little bit around it. There is another one that you can use. It's called diatomaceous earth, which is made out of mica. It's little shards of mica, and you can sprinkle that right around the edges where the stem touches the ground, and that keeps the grub from, it doesn't want to slither over this stuff because it's like little shards. So that's an option.
What is that called?
That's called diatomaceous earth.
Okay. So if I cover up the, like you said, the first with a little dirt and where it's coming out, and also put the diatomaceous earth, whatever you call it, around it, that should take care of it?
That should help with the borers, and then you still want to spray for the aphids, and you still have something eating on the foliar portion of the leaves. You said you have another one where it looks like something is chomping out on the leaf itself. That's probably your third pest.
Well, sounds like, a flea beetle or something similar to that. And there are lots of good organic sprays that you can use that will help to eliminate those. Aphids are pretty easy to kill. The main problem with them is they're literally born pregnant, so they reproduce incredibly fast. So even though you're killing large quantities of them there are lots of good organic, minimally toxic products that you can use. Even you're killing vast quantities of them, they don't seem to go away just because they're able to reproduce so quickly. It may take a little bit to get those under control, but the organic sprays do a great job at doing that. And also for the beetles as well. Just be persistent. It's probably not going to be a one treatment and done kind of scenario. You'll have to come back and repeat. Just because of the nature of the pests, but the organic controls that are out there work very, very well. There are several vegetable garden sprays that do a great job. And, again, they're organic and relatively safe to use.
The one plant that's getting sort of turning right now, the last 2 days, should I just yank that all together, or do you think I could bring it back? You haven't seen it, obviously, but it looks like it's close, and so I don't know if I should just try to yank it and save the rest.
If it's really yellowing and wilting down, I'd go ahead and yank it. Once that squash vine borer gets in there and you start to really see the symptoms on the rest of the vine, it's done enough damage to the vascular tissue inside that vine that it won't come back anyhow.
Yeah, and the most important thing is when you yank it out, be sure you take it away from the garden. Don't put it in the compost pile right on the corner, because that borer will just come right out of the plant he's already affected and get on another one. So be sure you take it, away from the garden, or put it in a put it in a trash can or something like that.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Good luck with that. Yeah, there are a lot of organic solutions in the garden center now. There's a lot of kind of new products that are coming in. I think we've talked about this a lot recently, but a lot of times organic, I think, made you feel better about what you were doing than being real effective. But that was years ago, unfortunately. But I think now they're a lot better. The Bad Bug Brew.
Bug Brew does a great job. And lots of the other things that are out there do a phenomenal job. And that particular one has a catchy name that they put to it. Many of the other ones are just rosin flower spray or vegetable and herb spray or something a little bit less catchy but more utilitarian.
And the reason that I like using organic so much is because you're not relying on a product to solve all the problems for you. You're not going out and just spraying with something and say, okay, no, I never have to worry about it again. The beauty of using organic products is that you're out monitoring the garden all the time. So as you see something that looks a little strange, like our last caller did, he's able to kind of jump on this fairly quickly and solve the problem. So even though he's going to be using some pesticides to solve the problem, just identifying it early has saved all those other plants. So don't think that, I'm going out and I'm going to spray it and then I don't have to worry about it again until harvest time. Visit your garden every day, and the more often you visit it, the more effective any pest control you choose, whether it's manual control, whether it's rotation planting, whether it's using pesticides. That's integrated pest management, and that's really the way we want to approach any time we have a problem in the garden.
And then you're also able to direct your applications to the specific plants that are susceptible, the ones that have the potential to have that problem, or the ones that are already infected, rather than just going out and taking an approach of carpet bombing where you go out and you spray literally absolutely everything in the garden, whether it needs it or not. And by doing that, you're able to kind of minimize the impact that you have, minimize the amount of product that you're putting out there, regardless of the kind of control that you're using. That's the best way to approach not just organics, but any kind of products that you're putting out there. We've got another caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm wanting to know what kind of fertilizer would I use on my butterfly bush. I think it's a miniature one.
Okay. Yeah, a good general purpose fertilizer like the Master Nursery Multipurpose or Plant Tone, either one of those would work really, really well. The Master Nursery has a little bit more nutrient content in it. The Plant Tone is more organic based, so it's not got a lot of nutrient per pound, but it's a slow, gradual feed and more of an organic based fertilizer. Either of those is going to do a great job. The key is just doing it. One of the things with butterfly bush, they grow so aggressively, and you think anything that's putting on that much growth, it's got to have a good amount of nutrient in the soil to sustain it.
I got some organic for the vegetables, so my tomatoes. Could I use the same thing, or would that be all right?
It probably would be fine.
Yeah, you wouldn't look at the formulation to make sure that it's a balanced fertilizer.
Uh-huh.
One of the questions also I'd have is your butterfly bush planted in a bed by itself, or is it kind of out in, I mean, in a bed with other plants, or is it out in the lawn by itself?
Oh, no, it's by itself.
Okay. One of the things to be real careful about is when you have plants that are by themselves in the middle of an area of lawn,
yeah,
is you have to be careful about over-nitrogen fertilizing, you know, on those plants. Because as you fertilize your lawn, you're using a heavy nitrogen fertilizer,
yeah,
and you actually can slow down the bloom. The plant will grow beautifully, just not bloom as well. So,
yeah, those of us right beside the house and the area that we have, we don't put much fertilizer,
okay,
on that side.
Then in that scenario, I would use a balanced fertilizer, as Norman recommend there, you know, something that's balanced, yeah, across those numbers. But if, you know, someone else is listening, if they have a butterfly bush, because those are fairly commonly planted out by themselves, or mm-hmm, lilacs, or, you know, a lot of those old-fashioned large flowering shrubs. Yeah. And as you fertilize your lawn, it gets too much nitrogen and it doesn't have enough potassium and phosphorus. So in those scenarios, I would use something that's high in the second and third number, and then something that's like a bloom enhancer or a bloom booster, something like that really benefits when plants are planted individually in the lawn.
What about the bloom booster that you mix water in with? I have something for that I put on plants.
You can, as we mentioned before, that most of your water-soluble fertilizers are relatively short. You know, they're relatively short use, meaning that they last for a couple of days. So that's something you'll want to do more than once, but it's a great way to get that fertilizer there.
Well, okay, thanks.
Thanks for your
call.
You.
All right. We're about out of time. We hear the music.
I think Glenn's trying to tell us something.
I think so.
He tells us we only have 5 more minutes to talk.
But this is the last day of the spring / summer snow dough season. Come out and use your snow dough today. This is the last day until October that you'll have to use your snow dough for up to 50% of anything in the garden center. And it's, you know, literally anything that you can pick up and carry out of there, or that we can pick up and carry out for you. You can use your snow dough on it for up to 50%. Save a great amount of money. We'll start Monday handing out snow dough again, so you'll have the opportunity to start accumulating for the next go-around in October. But
we're open until 5 o'clock today, conveniently located at 1875 Avon Street. It's a great day to come out and see us.
And you know, lots of great selection out there, lots of beautiful annuals and perennials that you can add to the garden, lots of trees and shrubs. Good fresh shipments of material coming in all the time, and then all of the tools and products that you need to keep your garden healthy. So come on out and see us, and if not, we'll see you back here next Saturday. Take care.